All right. Well, hopefully that gave you a better picture, or a couple hundred better pictures of what went on in Puerto Rico. But I'm going to, we have six of our team here. I think we had 11 from our church and 25 from our district go. And I think they met with somewhere between 150-ish from around the United States. Met in Puerto Rico. So I'm going to let Pastor Kirsten tell you a little bit about the trip, and then we'll hear from everybody, just get some thoughts and reflections, and so just excited to hear what God did.
Hi. So just to kind of give an overview of what the trip actually looked like, you know, we flew out the day we left, and we kind of had just like a long day of travel. We had a layover in Charlotte. And then we went from Charlotte to San Juan, and we were surprised because really where Puerto Rico is located is just like totally like east and south. And so when we went from Charlotte, we went just over the ocean the rest of the time, like flying, and we thought we were going to like go down and over Florida, but we did not. And so that was kind of the first surprise, I guess. We just really kind of went mostly east, but and then a little south. But so we get there that evening, and we kind of get settled in. And the first night was a little rough because we had no, you know, AC, and so it's like, I don't know, like 80 degrees or something, and not the best ventilation. So our rooms were like fairly stuffy. So then, you know, it was just like, oh, wow, you know, this is not what we're used to. And then the next day we went to church service with our church. Like Dylan said, there was, it was around 200, you know, Nazarenes from all over the country that kind of came together on this missions trip. But our group that worked with, like, our church was 25. So we get to the camp, and then we go to our, like, the church we were working with. Our group of 25 went to the church service, and it was Father's Day. So in the video, when you saw like the some of our people up on stage, they brought all the fathers up to kind of like sing a song and bless them and everything. So it was just kind of cool. They had gifts for the fathers and everything, so we were just, it was cool to see that, you know, sort of similar to what we do here, but, you know, in a totally different area of the world. So then, and it was, the service was translated, but it was difficult still to understand a lot of the service. So, I mean, we took what we could, but it was, you know, it wasn't the most, like, clear translation. So then, the church service was pretty late, and so we got back to the camp, and we kind of spent that day just, like, exploring the camp and everything. It was a Sunday, so the churches weren't really, like, working. And so then the next day is when our real, like, service projects started. So our group, the church we were working with, had sort of, like, three jobs that we could kind of go to. So the first and most like extensive job was the church had some just like remodeling, like I don't know exactly what you would call it, like painting mostly, but it was like furniture moving and different stuff like that. So that's what a big portion of our group, the 25, did, was sort of paint. And you know, they had this whole like wing of classrooms that they have plans for that they couldn't use because they were just, you know, I mean, they could have used them, but they weren't in the best shape. So then part of our group went to the church had planned a VBS, but it was like instead of doing it in the church building, they went to a community center in like a neighborhood and put on the VBS there. So some of us kind of rode and went to help with the VBS there. And then the final project was helping with cleaning out a person in the community's home who had an issue with hoarding. And basically, like a social worker had kind of come in and said, this is too far gone for us to help you. So the church was saying, all right, well, we'll help you get it to a point where, you know, you can get, like, assistance with certain things because, like, there wasn't water in the house and issues like that that the city had to help with. And so that was sort of our three work things that went on. So I guess I'll share like a couple things that just kind of happened that were really awesome. So to begin with, like the VBS, like that was where I was because I had Liam with me, and so I was like, you know, I'm gonna go help with the kids because I think I can actually help a little bit there. And so our first day was disappointing because we had no kids show up. So we were sort of like, okay, like what's going on? You know, like we thought there would be like kids for us to, you know, like sing songs for and try and teach Bible lessons. And they kind of let us in on some things that were sort of going on culturally there. And one was that just people of Puerto Rico have been hit very hard by coronavirus, and they are very hesitant to, you know, go back to church, to send their kids back to school. And the people from the church told us that there's really a crisis going on in their school system because a lot of parents have taken their children out of schools and they just chose not to send them back because they didn't feel it was safe. And so they said probably about half of this next generation will grow up without an education there. So the church wanted to sort of like, you know, help the situation, to be a part of the solution. And so they knew it was kind of starting with the kids. So they wanted to, you know, go into these neighborhoods where these kids are and be able to minister to them. But like they said, the parents were kind of hesitant to send them out. So what we did that first day was we were just like, well, if we can do nothing else, we can pray. And that's obviously not something that's like a inconsequential, like that is a great thing to do since we're there. And so we prayed and we ended up, we tried to learn some of the songs and stuff that they had us, you know, VBS, if you have helped with before, it's, you know, it's singing and dancing and getting pumped for the kids. So we were, you know, just learning the movements to the songs, and they were in Spanish. So normally, like, you know, and when you do VBS with English songs, it's kind of like you can guess what the next move is going to be, because if it's something about like, I see your face, you know, you can kind of point to your face or something. But this was in Spanish, so we had to really like memorize the moves so that they went with the Spanish words because we didn't know Spanish. So we practiced the songs and stuff, and then the next day we got a handful of girls. And we just, because there was a good group of us helping with the VBS, we were able to just, like, make it awesome for them. You know, we were excited. We did the songs and the dance, and some of the church leaders taught the Bible lessons, and we helped them, you know, with all the different gluing and cutting and all these things. And so we had those girls for most of the week. And then the last day, they didn't show up. So we were, you know, like, oh man, they didn't show up, but you know what, we're just going to pray again, and we're just going to pray for them and pray that, you know, whatever happens, that they can just have experienced the love of God through this week, right? So we're praying, and they say, hey, we actually saw the girls, like, you know, out on the street or whatever, and looked like they were going to the library. So the church leaders were just like, well, we have some stuff for them, so we're just going to go hand it to them and tell them, like, hey, we just wanted you to have this. It was just like some, you know, goodie bag stuff or whatever. And so we had prayed, and they were about to go do that, and then the girls ended up coming in. And so we did VBS for them, and it was awesome. And that last day, like I said, we prayed for the church's presence in this community, because specifically where the church was located was, like, the neighborhood that we were going to was to do the VBS was a bit poorer of a community. And so they said they had trouble getting people to, like, come to their church, so they kind of went to the community center. So they had been wanting to, like, minister to the people in this community, but they hadn't been able to, so this VBS was sort of the first chance they had to do that. Well, as the week was ending, the people who ran this sort of community center said, hey, to the church leaders, like, what you guys did this week was awesome. Like, the fact that you brought all these people here to just, you know, provide something for the kids in this neighborhood, because, you know, they've just been kind of without schooling and without, you know, a lot to do. Like, this has been awesome. And we're so grateful that you guys came, that we want you guys to come back. And so they invited the church to come back and put on another VBS. And so they had a community, like, kind of a community days thing coming up, where they were going to have, like, some activities and stuff for families. And they asked the church if they would put on another VBS while this was going on. And Nita, one of the ladies from the church, said, like, it's going to be for a lot more kids. So we were able to minister to the kids that came, but we were also able to help them, like, make a connection that otherwise they probably would not have been able to do. And so it was just a huge blessing for me to see, like, God using our group to help them, like, forge that connection, that they can continue to minister to the people in that community. So that was sort of where my group was. So that's kind of what I can say about that. But I don't know if somebody else wants to share about maybe the painting or the house with all the things.
All right. So my experience really was wild, to just land in an area that all the signs are in Spanish and very few people speak any English. And it was just really different to come into this church and try and help when I can't even really say anything to them. And it was awesome to, I think it was 2 or 3 days into the trip, they asked me to go and help with the hoarder house. And so I went along with the pastor Jorge, and ended up, he didn't speak any English, so I spent my whole day cleaning up trash with him. And I just could not believe how much I saw Christ through him as he talked with this man and trying to help him to let go of the hoard, because the guy still lived in the house, and he didn't want us to throw anything away. And this pastor just came alongside him and just took his time to talk with him, and just kind of, you could see how much it was a fight to get each thing thrown away. And he just worked so hard with the man, and just working hard cleaning up. And I mean, I learned later on that he owns his own business, roofing business, and he was taking the pastor owned his own roofing business, and so he was taking time from that business to go and help this man, and just spent the whole day in one of the nastiest houses I've ever been in. And I just really saw Christ through him, and just all the people in the congregation just really accepting us in, and just the willingness to serve alongside us, and just cool through those culture boundaries to get to serve with them.
All right, I'll go next. I really love missions and really definitely feel called to missions in some way in my life. So when they talked about this trip back in 2019, I was like, all right, I'm going, like, no questions asked. And thankfully I have a job that is flexible. So, I hope to always be able to go on mission trips, but for somebody who doesn't like being hot and somebody who doesn't like bugs, somebody who doesn't like outside, you wouldn't think that I would like to go on mission trips, but I love it. Like, it really just draws you out of your comfort zone. And, so yeah, it was awesome. Our showers, Ryan's room had a shower head. Our room did not. We had just the pipe that would just pour out like cold water onto you. But so it was really cold. But some mornings I would be like, all right, I'm going to go hose off everybody, just because it was like a hose. So it was funny. But I wrote down a couple more things. Let's see. Oh, you can't throw away your toilet paper, or you can't put it in the toilet. You have to throw it in the trash. So that was one of the things. Luckily, Rachel Snavely brought, like, Meyer trash bags. We were able to get that figured out. Yeah. Oh, and my mom and my sister Madison, it was their first out-of-the-country mission trip. So I was just so proud to see them step out of their comfort zone. And it was awesome just watching them go through, like, the different realizations that you have and just realizing how big God is. Like, people can sing the same song and pray to God at the same time in two different languages, and he understands you. Like, he understands it all. So it was cool to see them go on their first mission trip. And, oh, okay, this is what I was going to say. A really funny night happened. We were in the pool late at night, and there were, like, these huge leaves. And when Ryan wasn't looking, my sister put a leaf on his head, and he had no idea. So then this was also the mission trip of puns. We just said puns all the time. So then we started saying leaf puns and, like, tree puns to Ryan, and he was just, it was not clicking in his head that he had it. We were like, Ryan, I can't believe how crazy you look right now. Or what were some of the other ones we were saying to him? Like, yeah, I don't know. So all kinds of leaf puns. And then it was funny because he started saying leaf puns back to us, and we were just cracking up because he didn't know he had a leaf on his head. So then it became a whole night where we all, my mom went to the tree, got us all a leaf, and we came up with a whole saying to send a video to Dylan, like, Dylan, you're never going to tree leave the stories that we tell you when we get back, or I don't know, just stupid stuff. So that was probably my favorite night. But, yeah.
Okay. All right, so... One of the things that Molly and I were talking about after the trip was the power of testimony. And so one night at the end of the camp, we just kind of went around and we had everybody from our whole district, I think, was just giving their testimony and telling about what happened and what, there we go, I can actually hear myself, and what was going on in the camp. So it was actually somebody else's testimony that kind of hit me harder than my own testimony. And so I'm going to share that a little bit. And so what they talked about, and I think it was the Purdue boys, they had a whole group from Purdue that went with us as well. And they went to this other person's house, and they helped clean and paint this person's house, and they just built a relationship with this man. And the man that was at this house was not a Christian. He didn't believe in God. He didn't want anything to do with God. He was just totally, he had separated himself from it completely. And through their work at his house and the relationship that they built with this guy, he started to come around, and he learned all of their names. He learned where they went to school. He wanted to know what they were majoring in. He was just very interested in all of them, wanted to know more about their lives. And so they had a translator that went with them. I can't remember her first name, but it was Emily Armstrong, which she's a missionary. And so she was able to translate and talk for both of them. And she said that this man just completely had a change of heart on, like, the third day they went there. And it was just crazy to us that, like, the work they were doing was really changing somebody's life for the better. Like, God was working. They were working, but God was also working in this situation. And so that was really just a powerful thing for us. Yeah, the relationships are just really what's important.
Okay. Molly said a lot of the weird things or gross things that we had to endure where we were there. But it was fun. It was great being there with my daughters. And I actually did a lot of painting. And I just enjoyed being in that church and being with the people that prepared our food every day. And it was great to interact with them. I think the thing that maybe hit me the most was just really seeing the young people there and the missionaries that were there give a sermon every day before we left to go to our workplace. And, you know, if you have young kids that, you know, not young, but teenagers that ever want to go on a trip, I think it could be life-changing for them. I seen one little 13-year-old kid. His name was Malachi. And he just would go forward and bawl his eyes out when they were talking about, you know, God may call some of you to be a missionary. And he just kept going forward. And a lot of young people, teenagers, you know, I was surprised at how many teenagers were there and young people. But it will absolutely change your life. And I have no doubt that there's probably, you know, 10 people or more than that, 20 people that are going to probably serve God and become missionaries in some way through their experience that they had. But that kid Malachi, his heart, it just really got to me just seeing him cry and respond to God. So his life will be changed. And I asked Molly one day, I said, you know, do you ever feel like you're called to be a missionary? You know, selfishly, I don't want her to go to another country and be gone. I know she would if she got called, but she's, like she said, she wants to do some trips, but not a lot of trips. But so I'm glad for that. Keep her around. But it was really just neat to see the young people. I think that's what hit me the most. So enjoyed it.
Just to kind of expand on what she was saying, since I'm the old guy, I was very impressed with the young people that were on that trip, especially the guys that, the one picture, it was the fraternity brothers that were from Purdue, and this has been their second mission trip. And it was just the passion, and when we got to the church, when we went to church service that first day, how passionate those people are about their relationship with the Lord. Their singing is totally upbeat all the time. There's none of this standing still. You're up moving. The first song that they had, one of the members of the church brought around two tambourines and handed one to William and handed one to somebody else. So their passion is something that was very rewarding and very good to see and uplifting. And then the first day that we went to work, we had a gentleman, him and his wife, when we were all together, the whole 200 at the complex where we stayed. They'd done mission work all the time. He spoke the language, so he went with us the first day. So we were able to talk with the pastor and talk with some of the people that were in the church and ask them questions, and they could ask us questions. So we kind of got on the same page. And then just all the work that was performed in the church, I was so impressed with everybody's effort. Nobody stood around. Nobody just sat there and didn't do their part, especially the young kids. I was, like she said, some of the younger ones that we had in the group. But the whole group that we had, counting our group and the group from Huntington, everybody put forth the best effort and just constantly worked until we got it done. And we were very appreciative every evening. The church furnished us meals. The ladies cooked the meals. The one picture you might have saw when I was with the three women, that was the three women that had done the cooking. And you could just tell that they were wanting to get into the community. They wanted all these classrooms to be freshly painted and cleaned and to where they could bring in the community and bring in the kids. And they wanted them to have a very nice facility to come into and to appreciate. And I always tell myself I wanted to go on a mission trip sometime, and I'm very glad that I did, and I hope to go on another one sometime. And I really enjoyed the group that I was with, our group. I really enjoyed the group from Huntington, made some good friends there. hope to get with them sometime and go up and maybe have supper or something like that. So it was a very, very good rewarding trip.
Okay, so I had just a couple things to share from some people who couldn't be here today. So the first is from one of my students who went. Her name is Miranda, and she couldn't be here today, but she talked about how basically she is about to enter into her senior year of high school, and she has plans to go to college and become a nurse and nurse practitioner. And she said she, in doing the VBS, she felt like, you know, it was God kind of just showing her that she has a heart for children and that, you know, maybe that that's the specialty that she wants to go into with nursing. So she said she felt like that was just like God kind of speaking to her heart in that. And then, so Megan Anderson also went, and she also couldn't be here today. So she sent me this message to read, and so I was going to read it. She says, "During the beginning of the week, I felt a little discouraged. We didn't have many kids at our VBS. I didn't feel I was very helpful with the construction projects, and we were pretty much always hot and covered in mosquito bites. Before we left, I had an image in my head of what the trip would be like, and that's definitely not what I got. But as the week went on, I saw how grateful the people were that we were serving. My outlook completely changed. Accomplishments that seemed small to me were huge to them, and they were so thankful. I didn't realize how valuable my work would be. The experience made me more appreciative of everything I have at home. We were able to create such amazing relationships with the people of the church, and I know I'll always remember them. I think that God has a plan for more missions in my future." This is just a tidbit, but she is also going into nursing. She's at Purdue studying nursing right now. And so she said, "I believe that God has a plan for more missions in my future. I'd love to go on medical missions once I finish my nursing degree." And then another person who went on our missions trip was Rachel Sneavely. And she sent this message. She said, "In the beginning, the conditions were interesting, like a hose for a shower, throwing away all of our toilet paper. And I definitely have a greater appreciation for AC after not having it for a week. But through the hard work and sweat, I saw God working in unexpected ways. In the times I spent alone, I felt God was teaching me to stop looking for joy in circumstances, but instead to find joy in God's love. Meaning no matter what circumstances, I still have joy and fulfillment in my relationship with Christ, and that is enough. I also felt at peace that I was supposed to be right where I was, and that I need to stop worrying about the future because God has a more beautiful story than I could even think of. Another thing
for this team that went to Puerto Rico. We thank you for the work that you did, not only through them, sounds like to help a church better minister to their community, but God, the work you did in their lives. We're so thankful for experiences like these that make, that just form spiritually people's lives. And it's so exciting to hear of young people and as Dan put, not so young people working together for your common goal. It's so great to hear this good report, and we just thank you for it. And God, we just as we leave this place today, I just ask that their testimonies, their stories, their recollections of what happened would be some fuel to kind of ignite us into more passionate ways of serving and loving our communities here, and maybe just would ignite some passion to maybe go on a trip in the future as well, God. So we just we thank you for who you are, and that you're a God that is so big and so vast, and we just thank you for the work you did on this trip. We love you and we praise you, and it's in your name, amen. Can we thank this team for sharing this morning?
All right.